This week's episode is sponsored by Spaces. Spaces is a new platform backed by 15 plus years of educator feedback designed to document the process and progress behind student learning in your classroom. Join the Spaces community to connect with educators across North America and gain access to free teacher-created resources, help educators who are just starting out on their journey, and learn new things from teachers who have been there before. So visit community.spacesedu.com today.
Is this the teacher hotline?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Teacher Hotline. My name is Ronald Hay, where we try to answer some of the most pressing questions for teachers in and outside of the classroom. Today, we have Tori from the Essex County School Board. Tori, how can we help you today?
Hi, Ron. I'm an elementary school teacher, and on the side, I've always had a passion for writing and illustration. My friends have told me I should publish some of my work. They said they would make great books for children and awesome resources in the classroom. Personally, I don't know if I believe them yet, but their comments definitely planted the idea in my head. If teachers wanted to publish their own writing or work, what is the process? I know in the past you brought in teachers who were authors. I'd love to hear about the logistics of publishing your own work. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Tori. I wish you the best on your journey. To help you out with today's question, I bring in Rahel Tesfaladet, author of Kinds of Worlds Magical Travel Adventures. Besides being a published author, Rahel is an elementary school teacher and has been teaching for 10 years. Her passion for traveling has allowed her to teach in school boards in South Korea, Japan, Kuwait, the US, and this year is teaching in York Region in Ontario. Rahel, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Ronald. How are you today?
Not too bad. I'm really interested about your whole journey about publishing work. I know a lot of teachers that always kind of have this like interest. And they say, oh, I want to publish my work, but I don't know if my work is good enough, or I don't know even where to start. Mm-hmm. So that's why we have you on today, and to help answer Tori's question. Before we jump into some of the more logistics of things, I kind of want to know more context first. Like, what's your book about? Why did you write a book in the first place? And when did this idea come to fruition?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's something that I've basically wanted to do for years. I basically wanted to write a book, but then I didn't really know what kind of book I wanted to write about. And then after I narrowed it down, it to being a children's book. And I decided after my years of traveling and teaching and just my love for just basically learning about different cultures and traveling the world, that I wanted to bring that to life. And I wanted to basically have kids like learn about the world. And there's not a lot of representation in like children's literature, not when I was in school. And I mean, now it's getting better, but you know, it's not like there's not that much. So I wanted there to be a way to bring BIPOC characters and have them basically in a book that shows that, you know, that it's like fun to like travel and learn about, the beauty of like people's cultures, basically. And I based my first book on my travels to Asia. And that was how that started.
So this book that you wrote, well, first off, did you write one book or multiple books?
So this is, okay, so this book is the first book in the series. So it's part one, Kinds of Goes to Asia. So there'll be other books in the series. So this first book is only her traveling to Asia.
And this book has come out. I think I looked online. This book is out for sale right now.
It's been out for a little bit over a year.
And this book that you wrote, is it targeted towards teachers, parents, or is it more for children? And if it's children, like what age group?
Target between ages 6 to 12. And it's predominantly for children. But obviously, you know, for like parents and grandparents and like people who basically care for children, obviously have to purchase these books for their children, right?
Right.
But it's geared towards children about 6 to 12 around.
Okay. So were you writing this book, I'm assuming during the same time when you were actually teaching and working, am I correct?
Or yeah.
Did you take time off to do this?
I started this book during the pandemic, actually.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not too long ago, then.
Not too long ago, during the pandemic, while I was also on my maternity leave, so I just had a baby.
Hey, congrats!
Thank you. And my baby was only like, when I started, he was around 3 months. So I was not teaching. I was on mat leave.
Right.
But it was during the pandemic. And I guess that's what kind of also drove me to it because, you know, I had more time and I was able to finally like sit down and make my dreams come to life type thing.
Hey, good for you. You and I, we have a little bit in common then. This is actually how the podcast got started during the pandemic. Because there was a lot of time on people's hands, apparently. So the podcast was also born during the pandemic. So that's awesome to kind of hear how creativity was able to breed during some of those tougher times. So that's interesting to hear. So I don't know, what would you think here? Would you have been able to write this book if you had a full-time job and you're in the classroom doing your day-to-day job? Do you think you would have been able to pull that off?
I mean, I think so. I think it would have been more challenging, of course, because, you know, as you know, teaching is not just, you just don't leave it in the classroom, right? You bring it home and you're always planning and preparing at home. So it's challenging, but I think it's even more challenging, let's just say, if you have children, because then after your day, like you have to come home and, you know, you have to deal with not only your, you know, teaching work, but you have to deal with your family life as well. So, but it's definitely doable. You just have to, it's just about getting the the right setting and the right, finding the place that you can actually like sit and get your creativity going.
So let's get into the nitty gritty stuff that our caller called in about, just in terms of just the logistics of how to go about publishing a book. So if you were to break it into like, I guess, big chunks or big stages of the book's life from ideation to seeing it, you know, on Amazon or on shelf, what are the different steps that you need to go through, or the big milestones that you need to go through with, I guess, publishing a book?
I think the most, okay, so first and foremost, once you finally have your idea, like basically wrote your book and you have your rough draft, the first thing that you should do is copyright. Before you do anything else, before you send it to anyone or anyone is, you know, wants to look at it, read it or anything like that, you should definitely copyright. And once you have done that, think about whether you want to self-publish or go with a traditional publishing company, right? Because you know, they basically differ in the process and the pricing as well. If you want to self-publish, it's obviously it's much more cost effective, right? For the publishing companies, the prices can get kind of high. And
so what did you do?
I self-published.
You self-published. Okay. And I'm assuming you did that because of it being more cost effective, correct?
Yes, because I, starting this journey, I didn't really know much about the whole like publishing process. And I didn't have anyone to really speak to on that. I didn't know anyone that like, you know, published their own book. So it was all new. It was basically all new territory to me. I looked into the whole, you know, going with a company, and it was very like, you know, there's certain things about it that, like, I mean, wasn't for me, but maybe it could be for someone else, right? But anyways, those are the two routes that you can go.
Okay. So after either self-publishing or going with a publishing company, what's the next step after that?
So you need to find an illustrator, someone that fits your vision for your book, because, you know, everyone has different styles. Like, you know, are you looking for more cutesy? Are you looking for more manga? Like, are you looking for more realistic? Like, you know, that person has to fit your vision. And for that, you know, like just basically look at their portfolios, et cetera, and see if they match what you're looking for. There are lots of free freelancing websites out there. So you can just like find them on there. So I would say like, that's the most important thing, because it, like, if you're doing a children's book, the pictures are like the most, like one of the most important things.
Of course.
Yes. Because it needs to,
I still read picture books. So
yeah. Yeah. It really makes everything just come to life. Yeah. So that, I think that is the most important thing. Find someone that matches your vision.
Okay.
And then you need to find an editor, someone that's going to help you basically put your whole book together. So that this goes from proofreading to little things like grammar, et cetera, and then layout.
So this is a professional editor, not like your mom or dad doing this.
No, it's a professional editor.
All right.
Definitely not, you know, your best friend.
Okay.
But like someone that you would find.
Okay.
On a freelancing website. There are lots of them out there that have years of experience doing this and are not, or you can go with something more traditional with like a traditional publishing company.
Okay.
Those are your two options.
So we got illustrator, we got publisher, we got editor. Anything else that needs to get accomplished?
Yes. Decide on your logo.
Holy smokes.
You need a logo. Okay. If you want to build this to a brand.
Right.
Right. You need a logo that goes with your book. And then you would need to find someone to develop your website.
Oh my God. This sounds like a lot of money. I quit already.
You would need to find a web developer, someone obviously with experience. Again, they range in prices.
Of course.
You know, depending on how many years of experience that they have.
Okay.
And I think the most critical component is your social media marketer.
So you would recommend hiring someone to do that rather than on your own?
Yes. You can try it on your own, but at some point, you know, to reach a broader spectrum, you would need to hire somebody professionally.
Honestly, I'm glad that you said that, because you know, with my podcast right now, I run my own social media, and sometimes I'm like, oh, this is literally the worst thing in the world. I hate doing this. I hate posting. And honestly, to be honest, like, if I'm being self-critical, my social media like sucks. Like, there's no consistency. Like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I feel like I would get a lot better results to get more followers and pictures and just like, I don't know, the cleaner look if I just paid someone to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was me, honestly. In the beginning, I was doing it on my own. I'm like, you know what, maybe I could do this, but it was very time consuming, and it was very, you know, you really have to know, like, I'm not that social media, like, savvy. Like, I'm not really on social media as much. So, it's just easier just to like have someone else manage that for you. And I've learned a lot working with these people. So you know, like, you learn a lot too.
Right.
You're not just having them just handle it. You're still a part of your own thing. Like, you still know what's going on. You still have to ask questions, and they have to tell you how they do certain things.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. Me being the, I don't know if I told you, I'm an accounting teacher. Let's talk about money. I want to know how much all this costs. Yeah, I'm sure that's one of the first things listeners are thinking about, especially now you listed this like laundry list of things that we got to do here, right? Yeah. Publication, you know, website, logo, illustration, editor. Could you give us like a ballpark of how much some of this stuff would cost if you're trying to be cost effective? So maybe let's start with the, self publication. Like, well, actually, I don't know, does that cost anything, or is that just more of a general term?
Like, well, it does cost, because you still have to pay for your illustrator, you have to pay for your editor, you have to pay for all those things, right?
Right. So if you went the publication, right, like a publishing company, they would do all of that for you, is what you're saying?
Yes. So
you pay
them one lump sum of money, and they do everything for you.
Okay.
They will market your book in certain book, you know, like those chain bookstores,
right,
et cetera. Okay.
I don't they know what the hell it. I was talking about then. Okay, cool. Now I got the terminology on route here. So I'm assuming you looked into going with a publication company, correct?
I did.
So how much would that cost, generally speaking, to get the full package?
Okay. So if you go with the traditional publishing company, you can, you know, for a really good package, it can cost you $10,000 to $15,000.
Oh my God. Holy smokes. That's a big salami.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. Yeah,
that's with, you know, that's for, I guess, because they do a lot of the marketing for you.
Right.
Right. Marketing is the most costly aspect of this whole process.
Right.
I would say.
Okay. So $10,000-$15,000, fair. So if you're doing this on your own, so let's start with the illustrator. What would that cost you, give or take?
It can go up until $2,000 to $3,000.
Okay. Okay. That sounds about right. Yeah. That's fair. So they're doing important work there.
Yes.
What about the editor?
Almost about the same, almost like maybe I would say maximum $2,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then website design.
It depends if it's just a one-time development or they're continuously working on your website. Like, they're continuously hired to update your website on a regular basis. Right. So you can be paying maybe around $3,000.
You mentioned copyright. Yeah. How much does that cost?
Copyright, it's not much, actually. It's, I forget the exact cost, but
is it like $50 or something like that?
Somewhere between $50 and $100, something like that.
Yeah. We talk about copyright in my accounting class, and, I remember $50 coming out of somewhere. I'm like, I don't know if this is right or not. But yeah, I remember it being a very like minuscule.
Yeah, amount. It's not much at all. It's not much.
Okay. The one thing you never mentioned was like things like printing, like actually printing the book. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that's got to cost a lot of money. No.
Well, that's okay. So that's covered in the, let's just say if you go with the publishing company, that's covered in their, you know,
right.
Their price. If, and so if you go with the self-publishing, let's just say you are selling it on a platform like Amazon. Okay. You would, it's basically covered in their costs. So in the royalties and everything like that, like they basically deduct for each book printed, there's a deduction for the royalties you receive.
So that was actually one of my questions in terms of how you make money. First off, my question for you is like, where are you currently selling your book? I know it's on Amazon. Did you decide to go to like the Indigo route, yes, or I don't know where else you're selling it, but where can people find your book?
So I sell it on Amazon, and then I also sell it on my own, on my website. So it could, right, be, you can buy an ebook off of my own website. Mm-hmm. And I'm currently in the process of getting it into some of the bookstores here in Toronto, independent bookstores. That will be done this, right, summer. And then people can find it there as well.
So in terms of making money off the book, let's say, mm-hmm, if you're selling on Amazon, let's say, I don't know, I'm making a number up. Let's say your book goes for like $20. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming Amazon gets like a cut of that, right?
Yes.
Right. And how much does Amazon take?
It's about a 60-40 split, wherever you go, in all of the bookstores here as well.
Oh, 60 for you?
Yes.
Okay.
And the same goes with Amazon. So
that sounds like a pretty big take on their part. I don't know. I don't know anything about this industry, but 60-40 sounds like a big take on their part.
Yeah, that's how it is everywhere. That's how it is everywhere. Even with the publishing companies, because they pay you per book that you sell.
Right.
And they take a certain percentage.
Right.
And that's how much they take as well.
Wow.
Yeah. At first I was, it was kind of like, really 60-40?
Yeah.
You know, but.
That's just the name of the game. That's the game that you're
that's
playing.
What that's what it is.
So you really have to like sell a lot of these.
That's what it is.
Books to be able to actually make any significant money off of this. Like if I'm thinking like, if I want to make a career as like an author, like you got to sell like thousands, hundreds, mm-hmm, of thousands of these books to be able to make a living. If people are taking like 40% of your sales, right? Like that's a big amount. I don't know. That sounds like a lot to me right there.
Yes. Yes. And you're right about that. It is. And I think, you know, which is why I say marketing is like the most important thing.
Right.
You know, and the reach. Because if you're not reaching out, you're not selling.
So let me ask you this then. Like, why not go with the big publishers? Like, you mentioned some of the cost there, right? Mm-hmm. The illustrator, I know the copyright's minuscule, but... the website design, the editor, you kind of add that all up. It's getting pretty close to 10, mm-hmm, 15. And then we never even talked about your own self-marketing. Mm-hmm. Why not just make your life easy, just spend the $15,000. You don't have to worry about it. Then you just sit back and hopefully they do their job.
Yeah, but it's not as much. I would say I don't think you spend as much. Like basically, like the figures I gave you were like the ranges,
okay,
right?
Like on the higher end.
Yeah, yeah. So right. I don't think you know if you really do your research and you you know, but those are the ranges that I've seen.
Right.
You know, even if you do go with those bigger publishers, there's no guarantee that you're going to be selling your books, right?
So from ideation, from the moment you had an idea and was ready to begin writing to the day you saw the book being sold on Amazon, what was that timeline like? 2 years? Because you mentioned it's all happened during COVID?
Yes, 2 years, actually.
It's a 2-year process from start to finish.
Yes, from start to finish, it was 2 years.
And I know you said this was during COVID and during mat leave. Like, how much of this of your time did it take up during these days?
Well, it required me to be writing every day, really. Every day for at least 30 to 40 minutes. Oh, right. Goodness. And it would be like, you know, about like every single day, because it was like, okay, you know, I have had the time now and I want to get it done before I go back to work, you know, or whatever, or like whatever else happens in life. So yeah, I wanted to get it done as soon as I can.
So how many pages is your children's book?
It's about 30 pages.
30 pages. And is it like picture heavy? Is it text heavy?
I would say it's both. I think that illustrations are take up a lot of it, but there's a lot of writing as well. So I think it's a good mix of both.
Was there any like roadblocks that you hit during this project that, you know, in hindsight you wish you kind of had certain knowledge to be able to handle, or what were some of the adversities of being able to go through this process?
Well, first of all, starting it, right? Starting it.
You're right.
Just beginning.
I have trouble starting my day every day, actually. So I'm surprised I made it out of bed to do this podcast.
Yeah, you know the struggle. So yeah, it's like every just day. Starting it was, I think, the biggest thing. And I had a lot of encouragement from family, like, because I've always told people, you know, I want to write a book. I've wanted, like, for years, since I was a kid, actually. And mm-hmm. then people close, you know, and then the people like closest to me were like, well, why don't you start? And I'm like, well, I will. And they're like, well, when? You know, because this has been going on for years. So it was just starting it. And then once I finally started it, it was like,
yeah, you got that momentum.
And then it was just more like writing from the heart and not like from my head, because I already knew. Because, you know, this book is based on a lot of my own life experiences and my own personal experiences. So it was natural, but I just had to get out of my head and just more focus right. on what I wanted to basically, you know, say and basically communicate. So there was that. And then you start to think like, you know, are kids going to like this? Are people going to enjoy reading it?
Yeah. Self-doubt. No, yeah.
Will they like it? Will they get like,
am I wasting my time right now?
Will they get excited about it? I mean, are they going to want to read the series or am I just like, you know, or is it just me that's, you know, thinks that, this is a great idea.
Oh, I feel that way all the time. Literally all the time about this podcast. I'm like, is anyone listening to this? I'm a comedian as well. I'm like, are my jokes funny? I'm like, you almost like need validation. You're like, who likes what I'm doing right now? Like, am I literally like,
you know, and you don't want to, I mean, for me personally, I didn't want to have someone read it before it was done.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to give it to someone, but you know, read it and, you know, do you what do you think? Do you think it's good? I didn't want that because that change, you know, that could like persuade you to change your mind about what you're reading and you want it to be mm-hmm. yours.
Good for you.
So
good for you.
I didn't have, you know, anyone read it until it was like finished and I didn't. Yeah. So that was how that went.
Good for you. Rahel, I'm looking at the time. I think we should wrap up over here. Why don't you remind the listeners, where can our listeners right now get a copy of your book?
So you can find Kenza's World on Amazon, or you can find it on my website at www.kenzasworldmagicaltraveladventures.com, or you can find me on Instagram at Kinza_world_MTA.
Perfect. We'll have those all in the show notes for the podcast for anyone that is interested. And you mentioned that there's going to be another book coming in the future.
Oh, yes. There will be several books coming in the future.
And when are those coming? Anytime soon or?
Yes. The next book will be out in a few months.
Oh, and when's that?
When is that? Or
yeah, when did you have a month in mind or?
Not yet. I'm just waiting on a few things, but you'll have to wait and see where Kinza will be going next.
Okay, interesting. Excellent. Well, Rael, thank you so much for jumping in on today's episode. You know, it's always so nice to meet other teachers that have another creative outlet. I know our day jobs are great, but you know, having something like this, a side hustle, it just makes life so exciting. So thank you for joining today and sharing us some of the work that you've been doing.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Ronald. It was really, really fun.
And thank you to all of our listeners, of course, for tuning in for another episode of the Teacher Hotline. If you enjoyed today's episode, feel free to follow us on Instagram or on Facebook. And of course, don't forget to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Google, you name it. Don't forget to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts as well. And we'll see you in 2 weeks. Take care, everyone.